Business now, though. Brian Quinn is with us today, starting with signs of recovery for energy shipping through the vital Strait of Hormuz. Oil-producing nations are ramping up their output.
Indeed, Stuart. Sunday saw at least six oil and gas tankers transit the narrow waterway that connects the Persian Gulf to the wider seas. Those crossings come after a number of vessels did sudden U-turns on their way out of the Gulf earlier in the weekend. Tankers are trying to get their cargoes through the Strait of Hormuz without drawing the attention of Iran's military, with those that do cross doing so while hugging the coastline of Oman. Meanwhile, the OPEC Plus group of oil-producing nations has agreed to raise its output targets again starting in August, aiming to add nearly 190,000 barrels per day. That follows similar hikes for June and July. Those production boosts, though, remain largely theoretical as members like Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Kuwait continue to rely on the Strait of Hormuz for exports, with the center of the strait still believed to be mined and Iran still talking about fees for passing vessels. Traffic remains largely impeded. Those potential fees are still a potential stumbling block in peace negotiations between Tehran and Washington. Here's the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. on that.
And just 2 weeks ago, the United States signed a memorandum of understanding with Iran. Its most basic premise, the Strait's international waterways must be open. Attacks on civilian shipping must stop.
Now, next, Donald Trump heading to Turkey for a NATO summit. European defense spending high on the agenda, Brian.
So last year, Stuart, Trump called on NATO members to begin spending 5% of their annual GDP on their militaries as he tries to draw down the U.S. security umbrella that has provided the backbone of Europe's defense posture for decades. With the transatlantic alliance set for its next summit in Ankara this week, European leaders will be keen to show that they are indeed making progress toward that goal. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte has been at pains to emphasize Europe's efforts, referring to rising defense spending on the continent as the Trump trillion, as he met with the U.S. president in Washington last month. Some countries, notably Spain, have resisted the push for higher military spending. This week's summit is expected to focus on specific plans to implement the pledges that have already been made. Here's Lithuania's president.
Europe must assume greater responsibility for its own security. A stronger Europe within a stronger NATO should remain our common strategic objective. The summit must deliver tangible results and progress towards the commitment to invest 5% of GDP for defense.
Straight to the markets. What are we seeing then, Brian?
So crude oil prices remaining fairly stable amid those Hormuz passages and the OPEC production boost. Commodities traders wary of new disruptions. Brent is back above the $72 a barrel mark. WTI at just under $69 a barrel. Asian indexes mixed on Monday as investors await earnings reports from a number of key chip makers as they try to gauge the longevity of the ongoing AI boom. Tokyo, Seoul, and Shanghai are in the red, only Hong Kong managing to gain some ground. Here in Europe, meanwhile, a cautiously positive start to the trading week after Wall Street's holiday on Friday. EasyJet shares are up some 9% in London as the British low-cost airline announces it has agreed in principle to a £5.2 billion takeover from U.S. investment firm Castle Lake. The FTSE in London up just around a tenth of a percent.
Finally for business, the recent earthquakes, of course, that we talked about in the news that have rocked Venezuela, costing thousands of lives. They've also knocked out a crucial economic lifeline for many along the country's coastline.
So of those two massive earthquakes that struck Venezuela just under 2 weeks ago, the epicenter of one hit the seaside city of La Guaira, just north of Caracas. La Guaira has long been a popular tourist destination for Venezuelans, providing crucial income for city residents. And now, amid the devastation, small business owners who built their lives around the region's beaches are struggling to imagine how they will be able to start again. Charlotte Lamb reports.
Less than 2 weeks ago, Diana de Souza was serving empanadas to beachgoers at Catia La Mar. Now, her restaurant doubles as her bedroom. She sleeps in the dining room after her home was destroyed, escaping with her children and little else.
I think the moment will come when everything will return to normal. We're entrepreneurs, all our lives here, in these premises. We don't know how to do anything else but work for tourism.
Hotels, restaurants and beachfront buildings lie in rubble. in a state whose economy depends heavily on tourism. A preliminary assessment by the United Nations Development Programme puts direct physical damage at an estimated $6.7 billion, driven by losses to housing and economic assets. A figure that does not include infrastructure damage, wider economic disruption, or long-term reconstruction costs. Along the shore, umbrella and chair rental vendors are refusing to abandon their posts.
I have to do something because I'm not going to let myself die. I'm not going to wait for the government to come and give me food. I want to work. I'm used to working.
This chicken restaurant, miraculously untouched, is now a makeshift shelter for displaced residents. Its owner says Venezuelans have risen from hardship before and will again. One meal, one umbrella, one open door at a time.
Brian with business, thanks very much. Straight to the press.